strength? Are you looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith? Hallelujah. It's so easy to look down, isn't it? It's so easy to find ourselves being caught up in the cycle of life and all of the responsibilities and the challenges and the difficulties that we face, and we get lost in these things. But God is always calling to us to remind us to look up. And as we are living in this season where people are fearful and afraid, where there are so many concerns about the way the world is going, about what's actually happening all around us and how it's being handled and managed. But God says, do not be afraid. No matter what our situations are, no matter what our circumstances are, God is in the midst of us. And he is calling us to not be afraid. And we're looking for God to do something great. We should have an expectation of God doing something great. That's the end behold. The behold of God. God showing up unexpectedly and sharing and saying something. And so as we think about what God is calling us to do in these seasons and in these times, we ought to always be listening, looking, reflecting on the Word of God, meditating on His Word day and night, Paul says. And we should be in that place where we're able to refocus our minds, where we're able to look at what God says versus what is happening in the world around us. And so the more we look down, it ought to cause us to look up. Many people are afraid to look up. Many people are afraid of heights. Are you afraid of heights? How many of you are afraid of heights? How do you feel about that? Right? Hallelujah. There's a lot of hands going up in this service. Well, heights is one of those things that impacts people. And God is calling us to higher heights. He's calling us to be lifted up, to look up. And today we're going to begin here in Ephesians 2, 5 and 6, our lead verse passage for today. And we see Paul says, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive. God made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. By grace, you have been saved. Woo, thank God. Isn't that a blessing? And so God didn't wait for us to get it together. God didn't wait for us to become righteous or to be in a place where we would be acceptable. But while we were still sinners, while we were still in darkness, separated from God, God says, I came down and made you alive. Hallelujah. And so even though we don't deserve it, even though we were in a place where you certainly wouldn't expect God to intervene to do anything for anyone, that place, that position is a place where God says, my grace is being poured out. And so Jesus came. God sent him down from heaven. And Jesus came into our lives. And as a result, you and I are never the same. It says in verse 6 that he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Now you know why it's important to look up. We're looking up because that is where we want to go. That is where God is. That is where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. And so I would like to use as a theme today, apprehension, apprehended. Apprehension, apprehended. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we ask, oh God, that you would arise in our hearts and renew our mind as we abide in your word, as we reflect on the principles of God that you have given us so that we might have our apprehensions apprehended, that we would be able to arise in our thinking, rise up in our thoughts and in our ways, so that we would operate from a position that is seated in Christ from the heavenly seat. And Lord, we just ask, God, that you would mold us and shape us. Help us to be the people you've called us to be. Wash us, renew us, revive us, forgive us, and make us new day by day, more and more like you, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, God wants us to understand that our apprehensions can be apprehended. And God has given us his word so that we can operate not in the ways of men or from the perspective of man, but from the perspective of God, from a divine perspective, according to the word of God. And this is often challenging because our mindset is not that of God's mindset. We're trained in the world. We're groomed by the world. We're in an atmosphere that is contentious. And there is a working, a spirit that is operating in the world that is contrary to the Spirit of God. And as a result, you and I are in a position where we have to struggle. And we must wrestle, but not against flesh and blood, Paul says, but against principalities and powers, right? And spiritual wickedness in high places. And so you and I are called to resist the ways of this world, the mentality of the world, in pursuit of God's perspective, God's mentality, God's ways. And in order to do that, we must look up. And God understands that, and he knows that principle is important. And so in Christ, he raises us up. He lifts us up, not because of anything we have done, but because of what Christ has done. And when we surrender our lives to Christ, when we yield ourselves to God, God begins to do a work. He begins to lift us up into the places where we need to be, where he is. And so when we think about being fearful and afraid, as this society seems to be perpetuating and fanning the flames of, we find that over 41%, statistics say, of people suffer from acrophobia, which is the fear of heights. And this is one of the fears that people have, one of the many, as we've looked at in the past. And there's something about being in a high place. Have you ever been up on a high mountain or on a roof even? But when you're in a high place, it changes your perception and your perspective of what's going on around you. When you're up in the air, you can see further. You can see a lot more of what you can see compared to what you would see on the ground or in a low place. In fact, the lower the place, the less you see. Isn't that right? We can say that safely. The lower you are, the less you see. It doesn't mean that there's nothing else out there or around you. It's that you're in such a low place, you just can't see out. And God says, I'm going to take you from the low place, and I'm going to raise you up to the heavenly places so that you can see. And so many people are afraid of heights, but it's the high place that gives you a greater perspective, that helps you to see further and greater. There's a different experience when you're in the heavenly places, when you're in the high places. Even the air is different. And the atmosphere, it's changed. And there is a different experience being in a high place. And this is not only a principle in the physical world, it's also true in your spiritual life, in your natural life. In fact, every aspect of your life, you will have this play out. And it is a principle that God has given us, that he has designed. Think of climbing this ladder up a mountain. Could you imagine this? Would you be willing to climb this mountain? If you saw this, you would want to climb up there. I don't know. I don't know that everybody would. Certainly 41% of you would be like, absolutely not. This is absolutely crazy. Don't even show me this picture. I don't even want to look at this. And this is what it looks like when you have to climb an obstacle, a mountain, to get to a situation or a circumstance. Whatever it is that you're experiencing life, sometimes we face things, they look like high mountains, and we can't get over it. We can't get above it. We can't get to the place where we need to be. And this is what God does in our life. In Genesis 11, 1, it tells us the story here in Genesis chapter 11 about the, I'm sure you'll remember this, how the Tower of Babel came to be, or at least the attempt was made to build this tower. And so it says here that the whole earth used the same language and the same words. First, I want to just point out that in order to accomplish anything, whether you're in the world or whether you're operating as a child of God, you require unity. Unity is always required in order to accomplish any great feat, any great task or purpose. You have to be on one accord. That's why families have to be on the same page. This is why coworkers and people who work together have to be on one accord, on the same page. Even churches and ministries and those of us who are seeking to do the will of God, to follow the call of God, and to accomplish the great commission of God, we all need to be in one accord. That means we work in concert together, and we're speaking the same language. That means we understand each other. That means we can relate to each other so that we can make the right decisions together and so that we can accomplish what it is that we are attempting to accomplish. Verse 2 says, it came about as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they used brick for stone, and they used tar for mortar. Now, this is a practice that's actually still common today in Africa and many Eastern countries. And what they do is they take this mixture of mud and sand and water, and they mix it together, and they make out of this clay-like structure, form, and they put it in a mold, and they dry it out over days. When we go to Ghana, we often come upon villages and homes where people are rebuilding their homes because during the rainy season, the rainstorms come in and washes people's houses away many times. And so they spend the spring and summer months rebuilding their houses every year. Hallelujah. So, you know, it's quite a challenge. So you can understand why you need to become proficient at making bricks in this way. And so this is not an uncommon thing, and it goes back thousands of years in world history of making bricks this way. And you and I need to spend time building bricks in our life. We need to spend time establishing a solid foundation in Christ, in the Word of God, in the ways of God, in the things of God, establishing ourselves so that when we find ourselves in times of difficulty, we're standing on a firm foundation. We're standing on the Word of God. Verse 4 says, they came and said, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven. And let us make ourselves a name. Otherwise, we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. I want you to pay attention to this because this is a mindset. These people are saying, come, let us build for ourselves. So here is man saying, this is for us. We're building something for ourselves, a tower that will reach into heaven. Wow, you want to build something that reaches up to God. And the idea is that man is making his own way to God. And so often in life, people have their own way of getting to God. And they're doing things based on what they think and what they believe and how they feel. But that is not the way of God. That's the way of man. And so they decided to make for themselves a name. And how many people today are trying to make a name for themselves? How many people today are living their lives because they want to leave their mark in the world or have their mark in the world, or somehow or for some reason they just feel like they don't have a purpose outside of establishing themselves? And God says we're not here for ourselves, but we are here to glorify and magnify the Lord. And so their fear is shown here at the end of this verse. Their fear was that they would be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. And this is what happens when we are operating according to a worldly principle, a principle that's actually outside of God. And this idea of being afraid of being scattered about the face of the whole earth. And the very thing that we're often afraid of is the thing that we end up experiencing, because when we focus on something, we're drawn to it. It goes back to, I think I mentioned something about like this a couple of weeks ago. You know, I was talking to a ski instructor a few years ago, actually decades ago, I guess now. Time goes by quick. And I was talking to him, and it was, you know, we were talking about all the people that have ski accidents going down the hill. And one of the things he said to me was, he said, the problem is when you're skiing, you're going to go where you look. And I was taking snowboarding lessons, and I was taking some skiing lessons. And he was telling me, if you look down, you're going to go down. It doesn't matter anything else that you know or that's going on. You're going to go where you look. And so he said, what happens with people is they tell themselves, I got to stay away from the trees. I got to stay away from the trees. And they keep saying, I don't want to hit the tree. And they're thinking about not hitting the tree, and they end up looking at the tree because they're trying not to hit it. But because they're fixated on the trees, they end up going right over to the trees, and then bang, you know, they crash. You're going to go where you look. And I learned later on, in fact, I was doing a study a few weeks ago, and in that study, they talked about how the brain actually does not perceive the negative. And so if you say, don't think about a rabbit comes into your mind. You say, don't think about a rabbit comes to mind. You say, don't do this. That's the thing that will pop up in your mind, right? You tell a kid, don't touch the hot stove. Immediately that comes in their mind, hot stove. Oh, let me see. And so the brain does not perceive the negative. And so rather than focus on the negative aspect of it, focus on where you want to go, where you want to be. The ski instructor said, you want to look at the goal at the bottom of the hill. That is where you want to go. Don't look at where you don't want to go. Look at where you do want to go. And so you and I are called of God. And this is what a principle is that we see, right? It's in Philippians. And he says to meditate that on that which is good and just and that is of a good report and all those kind of positive focused things. Because if you start thinking negatively, you're going to go where you look. And you're going to find yourself overwhelmed with bad feelings, bad thoughts. You're going to start feeling badly about the people around you. You start focusing on people's problems and all their issues, and it's going to take you to that place. And this principle we see laid out here in this passage. In verse 5, it says, the Lord came down. Hallelujah. Have you ever been in a plane? You ever been up in a high place? The higher you go, things on the ground look smaller. And so as you go up, things look real small. So God always has to come down. God always has to come down to where we are. Because from his perspective, his ways and our ways are as far as the east is from the west. And so the Lord comes down to see the city and the tower which the sons of man had built. And I'm sure God was like, oh, look at that little teeny city. Look at that. Oh, look at that little thing. And so he says, behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language. And this is what they began to do. And now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible. Hallelujah. And so he is establishing a very real principle that's a part of God's creation. And that is, if you are on one accord, and if you are all saying the same thing, and we're all thinking the same way, we're on of the same mindset, whatever we decide together that we're going to do, nothing would be impossible for us. We would be able to accomplish anything. And it's true for your family, it's true for your business, it's true for your schoolwork and all the things that you do. Whatever it is that you're looking to accomplish, if you can gather together with two or three, nothing can be impossible to you if you're all on one accord. We see this principle in the Word of God over and over again. And so the Lord says they are one people. They have the same language, and they can do whatever they purpose to do. In other words, they have all of the keys, all of the recipe for success, because this is really what it is. And so verse 7, God says, come, let us go down. Do you remember what the people of Baal said? They said, let us go down. Now God says, no, let us go down. Hallelujah. So that tells me God didn't come all the way. He just looked from where he was, which means he was like, yeah, these people are off to a pretty good start being on one accord there, but essentially, yeah, that little thing, we're not going to let that prosper. And so God says, let us go down. Who is us? Who is God talking about when he says, let us go down? Well, clearly this is the Trinity, right? This is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God is saying, let us go down. And he says, we're going to confuse their language so that they will not understand one another's speech. Now there's no communication. And you and I have to understand, without communication, without interaction and sharing and being on the same page, there is no way for us to accomplish what it is we need to accomplish. And God understood this. And so he came in and he decides he's going to scatter their speech. He's going to cause them to not understand each other, so they would not be saying the same things anymore. And so verse 8 says, so the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. Hallelujah. Well, this is an interesting thing because, well, you say, what's so bad about building the city? Well, the problem was they were trying to get to God in their own way. And God says, oh, no, no, I am building the city, the new Jerusalem of God. God is the builder of the city of God. You and I can't build our own cities. We cannot live our lives to make a name for ourselves. We are living our lives to lift up the name of Jesus. We are representing Jesus. We are representing his name, his identity, and who he is. And God is bringing us through a process through life to mold us and shape us into the image of God. And as we go through life, we will have successes and we will have defeats, right? We will have areas where we do well, and then we will have areas where we are challenged and we fall. And saints of God, the Word of God tells us the righteous may fall 7 times, but they rise again. And it's not about how many times you fall, it's can you get up and keep moving forward. And so you and I are called of God. This very thing that they were afraid of came upon them. You see that? The very thing that they were afraid of came upon them. They were afraid of being scattered, and here comes God, and he scattered them. Saints of God, you will go where you look. You will find yourself in a bad place, in a negative place, when you're operating from a place of negativity, when you're going against the way of the Lord, the word of the Lord, and the things of God. And so in verse 9, it says, therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth. And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth. The very thing that they were afraid of came upon them. And so you and I have to be careful that we're not operating in fear, that we're not operating at a place where we are worried about something going wrong. What we need to do is look up. We need to look unto the Lord. Look to God. What does His word say? What is the Spirit of God ministering to us as we reflect on the word of God? What is God saying? What is the will of God and the way of the Lord? And so we see this over and over again in the word of God, how important it is to hear from God and then follow His way. And so in Ephesians 2:4, we see Paul says, but God being rich in mercy. Hallelujah. That means God, He doesn't run out. He's got enough mercy to supply us all. In fact, He's got mercy to pour into situations that you would think there was no mercy for. God is able to pour in. Why? Because of His great love, which He loved us. When you have a great love, it also will enable you to have great mercy. To the extent of your love, that's the extent that you can pour out grace and mercy upon a situation. The less love you have, then the less grace and mercy you can provide. And that is why we have to abide in the love of God. So we have an endless resource that comes down from God into our lives, into our hearts, renews our minds, and helps us to have grace in the times of need that God would pour into us. And so it's because of His great love with which He loved us. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, Paul says, made us alive. Hallelujah. Even while we were still in sin, even when we are, so our condition, our relationship with God is not based on whether or not you are in sin or not. It is based on the love of God. And God says, just admit it. Just confess. Just confess your sins, and God will lift you and set you free. And when we come before the Lord and we confess our faults to one another and our sins to God, God will enable us to experience grace and mercy. And so He says, even in our transgressions, He made us alive. By grace, you have been saved. Whenever you do something wrong, it brings you down and it changes your perspective. And so now when you're in the valley, when you're down in the pit, all you can see is all the dirt around you. You might see the sky above, but you don't see a way out. All you know is that you're in a bad place, and it often seems like there's no way out. But I'm here to tell you, God is your rescuer. God is the one who makes the way out. And so you and I can experience the grace of God in our lives when we are yielded to Christ, when we surrender our hearts to God, when you are born again, born of the Spirit of God. God will consume you. He will scoop you up, Paul says. He says He will raise you up with Him where He is. He seated us with Him. When I think of this, I think of mixing a cake. You ever mix a cake? Me either. But I've seen it done. Hallelujah. I've seen it done. And so you put milk in, right? And then, no? Yeah. Yeah, you put eggs. There's a batter, right? And there's different things in there, you know, and whatever it is, there's ingredients. And they all go in, depending on what your cake is you're making, right? You can tell I didn't make the cake. But I do know when you put the ingredients in, you mix it all together. And I know that in there, it begins to solidify and it's transformed. And the ingredients that originally went into the pot are no longer the same. Now they've been changed. They have been molded into one. And when you look at the cake, it is the sum accumulation of all the ingredients that went into it, and it is transformed into a different form. Have you ever stuck your hand into a cake and pulled out the egg? No, why? Have you ever been able to stick your hand in the cake and pull out whatever the sugar is or the seasoning that goes into it? Can you pull it out? Can you pull out anything that was mixed in it? That Betty Crocker cake mix. Can you go in and pull out grains of Betty Crocker out from the cake? No. No, you cannot. Why? Because it's a totally different thing. It has been completely transformed. That's you in Christ Jesus. That's you in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And so when you are in Christ and God says you're seated with him, you just see yourself as a cake. You just baked in, sitting there in Jesus. And Christ is the covering. He is the icing all around the cake. And there he is. And he is just beaming with the love of God. You and I, we are not the same. We have been transformed when you're born of the Spirit of God. When Christ comes into your heart and into your life, old things are passed away. And behold, everything becomes new. And saints of God, God sees us through Christ. Yes, we are fully aware of our weaknesses, of our shortcomings. I'm sure the sugar inside the cake knows it's sugar. It's fattening and all this other stuff. But yet, it is not what it used to be. And saints of God, you and I, we're not what we used to be. We are transformed in Christ. And that is why we have to always be reminded of the promises of God, of who he is and who we are, so that we can live upright in a way that reflects a different mindset, a different way of life, the way of the Lord. And so verse 7 says it's for this reason, so that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. In other words, God has sent Christ into our lives so that he can give us a demonstration of what he has for us. We get a taste of the things of God, right? You've heard the phrase, taste and see that the Lord is good. The fast is over, and now you can have some cake, right? You can have some cake. And God says he wants you to taste of him and see that the Lord is good. And we reflect on the Word of God. This is why Satan does everything he can to distract you from the Word of God. You know, we have our Through the Bible app, and you can go through the Bible. You can even go back to January 1st, and we can get through the whole Bible together as a church, which is why that's there. It's what we're doing. But the Word of God is so important for us to meditate on so that we can stop thinking about, don't look at the trees. Don't look at the trees. So that we can focus on the Lord. So that we can look up and look unto God. If you focus on what you don't want to do, everybody's trying to change their lives. It's January. We all want to, you know, renew ourselves. We don't want to be the same as 2021. And praise God for that. But don't think you will accomplish it by looking at what you are not going to do. Because if you keep looking at what you don't want to do anymore, you're going to end up going where you look. So look where you want to go. Focus on what it is that God is calling you to actually do. What you do will displace what you did. Hallelujah. And so God has come to show us the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. God wants to demonstrate his grace, not his wrath, but his grace towards us. You will receive the wrath of God if you don't focus on the things of God. It's not because God is out to get you. It's because God gave you the way out and you didn't take it. And so you have to make sure that you're taking the path that God has called you to take. And when you take the path of God, you will find yourself having a different life experience. And those who are in rebellion, they suffer a different fate. Now, they're under direct wrath at that point. And so, you and I are called to focus and so that we can have an experience. When you come to Christ, you ought to have a series of experiences that God is bringing about in your life in order to demonstrate his grace and his mercy toward you. And so often we look at problems and hardships and difficulties and we're like, oh God, the devil is after me. Oh, the devil. But sometimes God says, it's okay, I am with you. He says, it's okay, I want you to see my grace being poured out as you go through what you're going through. And so in Genesis 28:10, we see this story in the story of Jacob, right? Jacob departed from Beersheba and went toward Haran here in verse 10 of 28. And Jacob, as you remember, I'm sure, is fleeing from his brother because he deceived him out of his birthright, and there was caused a whole big mess. So he did a bad thing. He didn't do what he should have done, and he deceived his brother. In that fact, that was the meaning of his name, the deceiver, in a sense. And so God is trying to transform his life. And Jacob really is a picture of us as well. It's a picture of what God is doing in our lives. It's a picture of what Christ came to do. And I'm sure if you're familiar with the story, and as you read through it, you can see how all these things tie in and relate together. In verse 11, he says, he came to a certain place, and he spent the night there. And because the sun had set, and he took the one of the stones in the place and put it under his head, made a pillow out of it, and he laid down in that place. And so he falls asleep, essentially. And as he's laying there, he has a dream here in verse 12. And he says, behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. I have a ladder here. Hallelujah. Now, this ladder does not reach to heaven. Hallelujah. And I've learned based on our previous lesson, I'm not going to try to make a ladder to reach to heaven. And so, essentially, the ladder, it represents being able to get to a high place. In order to rise up so that you can reach into an area or into a thing in order to have access to it. And you and I are called to look to God. And as we see here in this verse, it says that this ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, but it wasn't so that people on the ground can get up. It was for the purpose of the angels of God to come down. Hallelujah. It was the idea that God is coming down into your situation. God is coming down into your problem, whatever it is that you're facing, that God is not leaving you alone. He is sending a helper from above. And saints of God, the angels of the Lord, the ministering spirits, angels are ministering spirits. God will send ministering spirits into your life. God will send ministering spirits to you. Whenever you find yourself dealing with a challenging situation, maybe it's your own fault. It might be your own fault that you're having these problems. But guess what? God will send a ministering angel. He will send the word of God to you. And the word of God will speak to your heart. The word of God will minister to you. The spirit of God will comfort you. Isn't that what Jesus said? He says, I send you a comforter. Oh, have you ever been in need of a comforter? Oh, I tell you, I've needed a comforter many times. Hallelujah. We need a comforter. That's what these angels represent. Because Jacob here is deeply concerned. He's afraid of what is about to happen to him. And he is concerned about his brother. God sends ministering angels because God has taken control of his life. God has authority in Jacob's life. He is part of the plans of God. And saints, you and I are part of a plan that God has. God has a plan for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. Satan will do everything he can to get us to think that we need to be scattered, or that we're going to be scattered, or that there's some terrible thing that's going to happen. God says, no, look up. Look up to the heavenly places. Change your perspective so that you're able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, to hear what the Word of the Lord is saying. let God minister to you. Let him speak to you. And it says, and behold, the Lord stood above it. I love that. And behold, hallelujah. And behold, that means suddenly it was there. Boom. It wasn't expected. It wasn't planned. No one was thinking, I guess it's about time for God to show up. No, no one was thinking that. It was, and behold. That means like, what? Wait, what? This is what God does in your life when you align yourself with a heavenly perspective. God does something that otherwise would not happen. And that is why we can't figure things out. Things will happen and we won't even understand what happened or how it's going to happen. We all we can say is, oh God. And God says, trust me, look to me, look up. The ladder is there as a reminder, not about you going up and trying to get to God, but so that you can know that God is coming down. God is sending his angels to minister into your life. Verse 14 says, your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. This is the promise of God. It was the promise that belonged to Abraham. That promise was passed on from Abraham to Isaac, and then from Isaac now to Jacob. And saints of God, you and I, we're holding on to the promises of God. We're holding on to the promise that Jesus gave us. And he said he would be with us always, even to the end of the age. He would never leave us nor forsake us. The promises of God are yes and amen, the word of God says. And we have to hold on to the truths of God. And even when we find ourselves in a mess, in situations that are beyond us, we can still trust God. We can still call upon the name of the Lord. We can still look to him. The word of God says, I believe it was David, he said, I would rather be found in the hands of an angry God than sinful men. And saints of God, you and I need to place ourselves in the hand of God, because God is looking to demonstrate his love and his grace toward us. And all we need to do is be faithful to him. Be faithful to his word, and the promises of God will be fulfilled. Verse 15 says, behold, there it is again. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I've promised you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is always faithful to his promises. God does not forsake his promises. He doesn't say, well, I will do this, and then say, psych your mind, I changed up, No. Or come back and say, oh, you didn't do this, or you didn't do that, or you messed up. God says, no, my promises are faithful and true. And so he says, behold, I'm going to do something you don't expect, and I'm going to cause it to come together. Verse 27 of John 12, Jesus says, my soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Hallelujah. Jesus recognizes, he's like, wait. First, I'm like, no, God, no, deliver me from this. God, is there any other way? Let this cup pass from me. If there's way, there's got to be. He's like, wait. And Jesus changes his focus. He says, for this purpose, I came to this hour. He was like, I'm not going to say, God, take me out of this. This is the reason I'm here. And so often we find ourselves in situations, we become overwhelmed, and we have to realize, wait a minute, this is the reason you are here. You are born into this season. You are born into this age. You are born into this century, into this timeline. You live in this state, in this county, in this town. You are here for a purpose. And God has called you to be his ambassador, to be his witness, to testify of him. And so we need to learn how to change our perspective so that we can remember the very purpose for which you have come into this hour. And Jesus is acknowledging this, and he is establishing this understanding. And so he says, Father, glorify your name. Notice he didn't say, make a name for me, Lord. Notice he didn't try to establish something for himself, but he said, Father, glorify your name. Hallelujah. Glorify your name. The scripture says, let the lips of another praise you and not your own. Hallelujah. And Jesus here is establishing this principle. And then a voice came out of heaven and said, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Saints of God, God is looking to glorify himself again and again and again in your life, in my life, in your family's life, in the life of the people around you, in the life of everyone in the world. All we need to do is call upon the name of the Lord. Jesus called on his heavenly Father, and he said, God, glorify your name. Sometimes we don't even know what to pray. We don't know what to say. Sometimes all you need to say is, Father, glorify your name. Glorify your name. God, do a miracle. God, step in and show yourself. And God says, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And so there's a crowd around, right? And so all these people who were standing by it, they heard it, and they were saying that it had thundered. And others said, no, an angel has spoken to him. And that is another interesting thing. And that's because there are people who are operating according to the ways of men versus the ways of God. When you're in tune with God, you will recognize the voice of God. When you are operating according to the flesh or according to humanity's principles and mindset and mentality and ways, then it will sound like thunder to you. Some people say, oh, it just sounded like noise. Oh, I don't know what all that noise. Oh, it was just noise. But those who are attuned to the Spirit of God, to the Word of God, oh, they recognize, no, an angel has spoken. God is speaking. That was the voice of the Lord. And saints of God, we need to learn the voice of the Lord. We need to learn the voice of God when he speaks into our lives, when he speaks into situations and circumstances that we find ourselves. We need to hear the voice of God and not just thunder. And so Jesus says in verse 30, he answers and he says, this voice has not come for my sake, but for your sakes. And he says, now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Hallelujah. Saints of God, this is powerful because it helps us recognize that the other voice, the contrary spirit, the very language or words that are being spoken that are contrary to God will be removed. Hallelujah. God is saying judgment is on this world. Not that the world will be judged, but that the world is already experiencing judgment. It's already being judged. And so it's already operating in a particular way. And he says, the ruler of this world will be cast out. That ought to give you hope. That helps us to understand. And so, as we see how this wraps up, Jesus says, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto myself. Saints of God, that's the heavenly place. That's the high place. God is calling us to be lifted up with Jesus. If you're in Christ, do you remember the life class with the envelopes and you put the, you guys remember that? All right? And you're hidden away in Christ. You know, it's Galatians 2:20. And we know that it's Christ who lives in us. If you're in Christ, guess who lifts up Christ? God does. God lifts up Jesus. And just as the angels went down and then they came up, Jesus came down so that he can lift us up. And we get mixed in with Jesus. We're mixed in. We're transformed. We're made new. And God begins to lift us up. And he takes us up and up and up to the heavenly places. And we're able to experience the provision of God, the glory of God, the magnificence of God. Why? Because we're in Christ Jesus. It's no longer me. It's no longer you. It's Christ who's in you, who circumferences you, surrounds you. He makes us new. We are hidden in him. We're no longer eggs and milk and Betty Crocker cake mix. Now we are a cake. We are fully made and fully done. And so Christ has raised us up with him. And finally, Revelations 21 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband." The new Jerusalem, the city of God, where did it come from? Came from above. Saints of God, this is the promise of God. This is why you look up. This is why you look up. Don't yield to the temptation to look down. Fight it with all you have. Stop looking at the trees, because you're going to go where you look. Look to where God is coming from. Look at the promises of God. He says, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them." That means he's going to live among them. "And they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the day that is coming. This is our promise. And this is why we look up. This is why whenever the temptation to look down, we have to be reminded and we have to say, "For this purpose I came into the world. Let me look up." And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. And the first things have passed away. Hallelujah. Saints of God, old things are passing away. They're passing away, and you are being made new. You and I, we're being made new. We may not be what we want to be, but we are not what we used to be. Hallelujah. God is molding us. He's shaping us. He is moving us forward along the timeline of God. And so he says, "It is done." Hallelujah. "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost." God says, "I'm going to give you a free drink." Hallelujah. A free drink that perpetuates life. Life everlasting, eternal life. This is what Christ brings into our life. This is the promise of God we look up and hold on to. This is why we are able to know that God is demonstrating his grace and his mercy toward us. Oh, saints, I hope you're looking for grace and mercy demonstrations of God in your life. All you need to do is call on the name of the Lord. Say, "God, glorify your name." Jesus is there to respond. Verse 7 says, "He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." Oh, saints of God, do you want to be a son of God? He says son here because he's talking to John, right? But here, if you're a woman, he says, "You will be my daughter." And we can be sons and daughters of God. And you and I, all we need to do is overcome. In other words, don't hit the tree. Don't hit the tree. Look to where you want to go and let God take you there. Verse 9 says, "Then one of the seven angels had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, came and spoke with me, saying, 'Come here, and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb.'" Oh, and he carried me away, John says, in the spirit, to a great and high mountain. Notice he didn't take him down into the valley. He didn't take him into a pit. Why? Because you can't see anything from there. He says, "I'm going to take you to the high place. I'm taking you to the mountaintop." And he says, he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Saints of God, we have to learn how to look up. All of our hope, all of the promises of God, they come down from heaven, up from God. It says he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Paul says. And so, saints of God, you're not where you think you are. You're in a high place. And I pray that you don't have acrophobia and you're not afraid of heights when you're seated in Jesus, when you're seated in Christ, in the heavenly places of God, because God wants to reveal things to you. He wants to show you things. He wants to demonstrate his love and his grace toward you so that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So, saints of God, don't worry about climbing the ladder. You don't have to climb the ladder. God wants to raise you up. All you need to do is abide in Jesus. All you need to do is trust in God, and he will apprehend your apprehension. He will enable you to overcome every obstacle that comes your way as you trust in him and look to God and allow him to disperse your fears and do a beholding of God in the midst of your life to demonstrate his grace and mercy toward you. Amen? Amen. Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.
Alive.
Hallelujah.
He's alive.
Alive in you today, that you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, and that you are trusting him as no one else to fulfill the very promises of God in your life, and you are able to look up and see the provisions of God, the help of God, the comforting spirits, the ministry spirits of God that God will send into your life. God will touch people's hearts, and they will come and minister to you in your time of need. They will encourage you in your time of need. They will build you up in your times of troubles. When you're in a low place, God has a way of lifting you up to change your perspective so you can see, not from the pit, not from the low place, but from the high place. The Word of God says, if you're in the valley, God will fill it in to make it level. And if you're in a high place, he will even bring it down so that the ground could be made level. He says, if your way is crooked, he can make it smooth. In other words, God says, no matter what your terrain is, God can put you on the right path. He can put you in the right place so that you can experience his grace and his mercy so that the glory of God can prevail in your life. Amen? Amen. Lord, we thank you for your word today, and we ask, God, that you would lift us up and that you would enable us to experience the apprehension of all of those things that would apprehend us, and that we would have our apprehensions apprehended, and that the glory of the Lord would be shown, made known, demonstrated in the midst of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.